Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and on today's show, I'm talking about relationships and people that may seem good for you, but are actually a bit toxic, and how to see the signs, especially with the current climate. You want to really think about the people in your life. Are they serving a purpose for you? Plus, I'm answering your sex and relationship questions. Topics include the TV show You and how people can easily fall for manipulation in relationships, a thoughtful conversation on getting out of a bad situation romantically, and how penis owners can use the magic wand and ways to use it with a partner, and what to do when you and your partner's love languages differ and it's making things pretty difficult. All this and more. Thanks for listening. A couple months ago, I introduced you to an amazing product called YarLap. It's an FDA-cleared device designed to tone and strengthen your pelvic floor using auto Kegel technology. Normally, this is where I would tell you about how important Kegels are, but apparently, I no longer need to. You see, the response to YarLap has been insane. This makes me so happy. Why? Well, two reasons. Well, first, I'm so excited to know that so many of you are buying and trying the YarLap for yourself. But more importantly, you're all really listening. I mean, there's a reason why I talk about Kegels and pelvic floor strength so much, but not everyone knows. So I just got back from a weekend retreat with a bunch of women from all over the country, and they were sitting there and they said they heard what I did, and they said, this woman said, oh God, I just had a child and my vagina is not the same. And then another woman said she's never had kids, but she's having some, you know, sneezing and peeing situations. I was like, okay, get out your phone. Check out the YarLap. It is crucial, you guys. Listen, we all know Kegels. I'm going to do them at the traffic light. We don't remember to do them. But this auto Kegel technology, you do it for a month and it does your Kegels for you. And listen, when you have stronger Kegels, you have stronger orgasms. You have more desire for sex. If you're having orgasms and you're enjoying it, you're going to want sex more. And I promise you, no more sneezing and peeing. And listen, like everything, we got to take floor of our pelvic floor muscles. Maybe I'm preaching to the choir here, but I'm telling you all, check it out. If you haven't checked it out yet, you just need to know that YarLap is the real deal. It's a super smart and discreet device that you use at home to have your Kegels done for you. And in as little as 2 weeks, you guys, I'm telling you, this is the truth, you'll experience a stronger pelvic floor. And YarLap is the only clinically proven device to do this. So if you're ready to have your Kegels done for you and save $30, go to sexwithemily.com/YarLap. Use code Emily at checkout. That's sexwithemily.com/YARLAP. Use code Emily to save $30 today.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com. We are social media across the board is Sex with Emily. And okay, guys, we are still bringing you all the content during this COVID-19 pandemic. And I just want to say that we're still providing you with 3 podcasts a week. I'm also doing a lot more on social media across all my platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. It is Sex with Emily everywhere. And as always, whatever you need from me, you can send me your questions to feedback@sexwithemily.com. And then check me out at all those lives too. I'll be doing daily because listen, guys, this is really the time where we have to focus on really good, excellent communication. And intimacy is important and taking care of ourselves, whether we're alone or with lovers. And I think we all have a lot more time on our hands right now to use our hands and our minds wisely. So I am here to help you and sending you lots of love and intentions for the show. Okay, guys, each show I start off by setting an intention. And so what I think is, you know, while you're listening, what do you want to get out of listening to this episode? How could it help you? Like maybe you're thinking, I've been spending a lot of time with my partner and I'm starting to notice behaviors I haven't before. Could it be manipulation? Or maybe, you know, you've had loved ones going through something like this. You're both going through this and you want to get more insight on how to help someone who chooses a toxic partner. My intention for the show, to give you insight on how even if someone seems like a really good person, there might be red flags. There might be behaviors they're hiding in plain sight, how to notice it and how to do something about it. All right, guys, enjoy the show.
I'm on this kick this year in the last few weeks. I call it a kick. If I, for 2 weeks, have been watching more television than I watched in the last year.
That's a kick for you.
And one of the things, I finished the first season of You last night on Netflix.
It's so good.
And it is, if you haven't seen it, it's all about, and I just kept thinking about all of you because it's about, you know, this guy played by
Ben Badgley.
Hard to say. Yeah. And he essentially is a sociopath, manipulator, and takes place in New York. And he's like this boyfriend who really at some point you're like, I could see that. Like maybe if he just killed one person, I would still have sex with him.
Talk about devotion.
He's a stalker essentially. And he stalks, you know, with social media now. I mean, it's really not that far of a stretch that somebody could stalk you to that extent. And I leave my windows open sometimes, not anymore. Not since I said it now, but she leaves her windows open. She can see him having sex with people. Like, it's crazy. But then I thought about it, like this manipulation and at different points in your life, what it got me thinking about was really, and if you guys have seen, you know, let me know what you think about this. But in watching it, I'm like, I probably would have dated someone like Joe Goldberg 10 years ago. I have allowed myself to be responsive to less than healthy partners. I've never been like abused physically in a relationship. I haven't had that kind of abuse. I haven't had anything like super horrible, but I have allowed myself to be with people who on the surface level were really nurturing and they were like remembered everything I told them and they were sending me flowers and they were seemed to be very attentive and sweet. But then there's always a flip side where they turned out to be more manipulative or controlling. You know, I understand you can't have it all, but control is something that I'm just like, if you're going to try to control me, that does not work. My whole life is around being free. But I know I can understand that like slippery slope between feeling like somebody is so attentive and nurturing and there for you and then having this feeling like something's off. And you know what I love? It ends with like, when things are too good to be true, I think you have to believe that. If somebody is too good to be true or something is too good to be true, it probably is. Like, I just believe, like they say, there's no free lunches.
Like, it's just unfortunate, though.
It is really unfortunate.
Why can't we hold on to that?
We can. Well, you can. You can.
Yeah.
For just a little bit.
And then you get married.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You get killed.
Speaking of the ultimate too good to be true, let's talk about the honeymoon phase that everybody goes through in a relationship. From 6 months to 2 years, there is a period where you first meet somebody and you are falling in love or falling in lust and everything's amazing and your body's reacting to it. Your endorphins, all the feel good hormones are raging. But what happens after everything, something comes up, it comes down. And that's what happens. And I think a lot of us run around chasing those early stages of a relationship, which is also too good to be true because it's not going to last. And you just got to figure out how to get back to that. But when you're dating somebody, sometimes you find out, you know, before it's too late, that you know, you're so knee deep in the relationship that you are like, oh shit, I really love this person, but there's all these messed up things. But I believe that you have a hunch early on, like even in you, she was like, I don't know you. I don't know your family. I don't know your friends. Like,
right. You know my life, but you know, I don't know your life. That always freaks me out. I'm like, I need to know that you have other people going on. Like if I meet someone, they don't have friends. That's the biggest thing.
That's like, a deal breaker.
Why
I think
not. But he's so hot, you don't even care.
You don't care, right, for a little bit. But you're like, you have no friends, you have no past, you don't ever. I mean, I've even had friend dates just going out with women that I think are cool, and it's weird when they don't ever talk about their past or they don't want to put an anchor in any statement. Like, so I just think, and I'm wondering for you guys, has this ever happened to you? Have you ever fallen for someone where you feel like you had to justify their behavior? All your friends were like, no, I'm not sure that they're so good for you. And you kept justifying and justifying. And then you found out they were a serial killer. No, hopefully not.
Hopefully not.
You found out that everything that you thought about was true. Have you ever been manipulated by someone and you kept justifying it?
So did you, but like, so obviously you hopefully never dated a murderer.
No.
But like, what were some of those things where you were like, oh,
God, I've dated people who I feel like I dated this guy once, I remember. And this, again, I think this happens a lot that you date people, although this isn't true if you look at all the true crime things. like Dear John, like she was a woman in her 50s who couldn't have was dating the manipulator. But I think I've done a lot of work on myself. I've done a ton of therapy and self-work. But in my 20s and 30s, probably dated more people than not. That like this one guy, he courted me so hard and he was very lovely. My friends knew him. He had came from a really good background. Every week he sent me orchids. He lived in Texas at the time. It was back and forth. He sent me orchids. And he sent me, but we would see each other a lot, like too much eventually. He showed up all the time, but he was very like, he remembered everything about me. He was very like, he loved taking care of me in ways that I just wasn't able to take care of myself. He was very attentive.
Okay.
And that was great until I realized that the flip side of being really attentive and nurturing is he was very controlling and somewhat manipulative. Like he was like, okay, we're going to my family's house for the holidays and could you wear something navy? I'm like, navy? Like his family, they were like, kind of conservative. I'm like, navy.
Is that like the conservative?
I guess so. I'm like, do you want me to put on some pearls? Like, what do you want me to wear? And then he would like pack my suitcase for me, which I liked because I have packing trauma. I'm not a good packer. But then I realized after a while, like, oh no, this is actually everything was on his turn. He's doing everything to make sure that I would buy in and then control. And that was unhealthy for me.
I was like, how much navy did you even own?
None. I said, I don't own navy. Like, I'm Jewish. I wear black. We don't wear navy. I don't wear navy. Like, come on. And then my mom was like, I don't think this is what you want. So it was, yeah. So that was something. Today I was like, after watching that, I was just like, wow, I probably would have slept with Joe Goldberg, like on a, you know.
Yeah. Do you think like in your 20s, you might have been?
Maybe. Like he was attentive. What was it? He works at a bookstore. He's smart. He's sensitive. He's handsome.
He's good with kids. It's like, that's the only way you survive him is if you're a child. He's like, oh no.
Exactly.
Not gonna kill you.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, who knows though, right? And so.
I'm trying to think if this ever happened to me. I don't think so. Well, kind of. It wasn't super manipulative, but.
I had this other guy. I was thinking about it today. I went to, I remember being at my friend's birthday. We all went to Chicago. It was like her 30th birthday and five of us met there. And I was dating a guy who, he was questionable. He was going through, I think I was like 30, he was going through a divorce, but he was so fun and my friends were like, I just think he's weird. He's really off.
Oh, so your friends saw it?
My friends saw it right away. They're like, really? Like they still to this day, they're like, John? I'm like, I know. Can we please forget about John? But something, I got so swept up in he just was really into like helping me be more creative. And he was working on my film I was doing at the time. And he just was, to me, he was eccentric. But turns out he was just kind of a little creepy and confusing to my friends. So we were at her birthday in Chicago. We all flew in and all of a sudden he texts me. Was this text that? Yeah. He's like, my plane got diverted and I have to land in Chicago. And my friends are like, bullshit. I'm like, no, you guys, he was flying to New York and maybe he really had to be in Chicago. And
you
he's
know
like,
the weather.
He's like circling. And they're like, that's weird. And when you're knee deep in it, you just can't see it. I mean, I probably dated him for like 3 months. And we did a lot together, but then I was just like, and then he had like a breakdown and had to go back to like the Midwest.
That's
so I knew it, but I couldn't. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you don't want to see the red flags. You don't want to see the signs because your heart or your lust is just like, no, people, you guys are all wrong because you don't know what I feel. And then you can easily be like, well, you wouldn't know because you're married now, or you wouldn't know because you don't know what what I'm like. He gets me.
Oh my God.
But sometimes
yeah.
You got to trust your friends and trust your family. I just want to know if you guys have had a you story of being manipulated by somebody or, not paying attention to your own gut about people.
I mean, well, because that's the thing. Like when you are blinded by the love, the creepy gesture is romantic to you. Like that's literally the difference. Do you like this person? If you like them, then it's like the guy at the end of Say Anything with the boombox and it's romantic. But imagine that same scenario. Like if you didn't like the guy, I'd be like, what the fuck? This guy's outside my house with a fucking boombox.
Call the police.
Like literally. And that's the difference, which is like,
if we're into it, we can't see it. Well, that's like the red flags, painted white. I guess.
Is that the I don't know.
I don't know what it is.
It should be a phrase.
It is. It's like, and you can't see it through all the tension and all the things. You're like, it's not that bad. But honestly, like the issues you have right away are typically the issues you're going to have forever. The issues you have on the first date, you'll likely have forever. I mean, who isn't? Okay, who's in a fight with their partner right now? Who's frustrated about something with your partner right now? And if you're honest with yourself, you had a hunch when you first met.
Mm.
I think that that's legit. I mean,
and then, I mean, just bringing it back to you, is this not like, I mean, he's just a guy who is just, you know, nice and kind and cool. But it's like, shouldn't everyone be nice and kind and cool? I feel like as a whole,
morals,
I feel like we've all just lowered our standards just because we're like, I don't know if it's because we're getting more desperate or if people overall are getting shittier or
I think that there's a crisis of connection and we aren't really meeting as many people as we used to. And we're not putting ourselves out there as much and we're not. And maybe there's just more danger now talking about people. People are more self-conscious about things. And I don't think that we're putting ourselves, especially here, like the big cities, like living in Los Angeles or New York or San Francisco, where like everything is delivered. You drive through to pick up your, you know, your latte or your medication at Walgreens. It's like you don't have to get out of your car. You don't have to see people. You think we're tricking ourselves into feeling fulfilled and connected if we're like on our phone, on a dating app or texting somebody. You get the same rush as if you're with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's also why we're just not going out. Like there was a study that came out, right? Like the people are, this is the first time this year that I think it's the second or the first most common way people are meeting people is online. And mm-hmm. it used to be like at a bar and that like fell way down. So I think people aren't even just hanging out to meet people anymore. They're like, well, I'm on the app, so I'm gonna try to secure a date and not go out.
And then when you are at a bar, like, because you've always said, like, oh, don't be on your phone. So I've tried not being on my phone and feeling like I'm sitting there approachable. So I don't know why I feel like
they're on their phone.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So no one even like sees me. And then the only people that aren't on their phones are like with people or they're like just not my type and like way older. And like, I don't know, like I'm not going to date the 50-year-old in the corner.
No,
sorry, guys.
No.
But
sorry. She's
my
not. But
my age
you,
gap is 38.
You know what's interesting? All right, exactly. Okay, good to know. But you know what the interesting thing is? I feel like people really aren't like the only good thing about the phones are sometimes I do stupid shit in public. Like I'll trip or I'll drop something or I'll, you know, have something going, something weird. And then you look to see if anyone's watching and everyone's on their phones. Whereas back in the day, if you were waiting in line, you did something, people would be looking at you because you had nothing else to do. No one's walking around with books all the time. So now no one sees all this. I look over like, nope, no one's paying attention because everyone's on their fucking phone, which is good. Okay. when you're doing something stupid. Okay, you guys, let's talk to Terry. She wants to comment on the toxic subject. Hi, Terry, 53 in California. What's going on?
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I love your show.
Thank you.
Love your show.
So glad.
So, unfortunately, this was only 5-6 years ago, but I've grown a lot. I hadn't been in a, you know, I'd been divorced and found this guy. I had known him for 10 years, and he was a manipulator, and I had never been manipulated in my life, and I found out at that time what gaslighting was, and actually went to counseling trying to convince her that he wasn't as bad as he was, and I got him to go to counseling so she could see that he wasn't so bad, and she actually told me after that, she said to him, hey, are you like here to try to work on this? Are you here to try to better this relationship? Or are you trying to convince me that Terry's crazy? And he never went back because he was trying to convince her that I was crazy.
Oh,
and
wow.
She saw
okay, good.
It.
Wow.
And then she gave me a book about gaslighting.
Yes.
And I read it and the light went on, thankfully, and got out of the relationship, thankfully, because it was bad. It was really bad.
Wow. Isn't it amazing, gaslighting? Like, you can't... Gaslighting, to describe it, is it's somebody who is manipulating you through their words. They're stating things as fact when they're not. Mm-hmm. Like, right? They're stating, like, the sky is green. You're like, it's blue. They're like, it's absolutely green, you know? And they have all this support, but you don't see it because you're like, first off, right, Terry, you haven't been manipulated. You're like, why would I assume this person is lying? It's a really tricky one, but... Well, I'm glad you found that out, Terry. Yep, never again.
Right, she said it'll never happen to you again. And she said he was really good at what he did. So I'm, you know, blessed and thankful that I got out of it when I did. And, you know, it was a horrible situation, but got out of it.
I'm so glad you could. Yeah, okay, thanks, Terry. Thanks for calling. See, it happens. Let's talk to Catherine, 40, in Texas. Catherine, you were also in a manipulative relationship. What happened? Tell me.
I was married to him.
Oh, okay.
I did. I married him. And I mean, it was just clocked just right out of a movie.
Tell me. What happened? Give me some examples, please.
Like, while we were dating, he would comment on my clothing and just be like, why are you know, you look really beautiful. However, you know, why was the choice, isn't that a little low cut? Who are you trying to impress? You know, things like that. It started with clothing, and then it moved into, why were you talking to, you know, that he's a man, you know, you should only talk to girls. You shouldn't talk to guys and all of that, that type of stuff.
Wow. Yeah. And you married him. And this is when you were dating.
And I married him. He was beautiful. I mean, he was this great guy, and, you know, we were very compatible, and I was just like, all the red flags, and everybody saw it, and I didn't.
You just couldn't see it.
I married him.
Wow. How long were you with him?
A couple of years, and then, I lived the afterlife, like, what happened, and the jealousy happened, and then I was like, I remember I was sitting in a corner of our couch, and I was reading an email, and he came in, and he was like, Who are you talking to? Who are you, you know, like, very jealous.
Right.
I'm like, I'm reading my email. And he's like, I can't see it. You know, you're talking to someone. And I was like, no. You know, just things like that.
Right. And you weren't. And he might have been. Yeah. Who knows?
It was frightening.
Oh, God.
And it just escalated. And it ended with, out of a movie, my friends and I had to plan an escape for me.
Wow.
When he was gone for a business trip, and we planned an escape.
Wow. And then did he come after you? Did you ever see him again?
You won't believe this. He did. As soon as we started the process, and I had gotten my apartment, I got everything taken care of, and it was moving day, he left for the trip. He was getting on the plane or whatever, and I made the mistake of not answering the phone call. I should have answered it, but I didn't. So he just said that, because I always picked up my phone, I always answered his calls. Of course I would. Well, I didn't answer his call. So as soon as his plane touched down, he got on a plane to come home.
Because
he knew something was up.
Oh, wow.
And so, I know, I got out of the house within 30 minutes of him coming back to the house.
Wow. That's, oh my God, he just knew, because they know, they're so smart, they're so intuitive. That's the scary part.
He was so smart, and I felt, I mean, I just, by that point, I was so broken as a woman. I'm just so thankful that I had people in my life that were able to help me.
Yeah.
And, you know, 10 years later, I'm in such a better place.
Oh, good,
Catherine. But I really dodged a bullet. I know, but it really did happen. These things really do happen.
Yeah, they really, really do.
They really do exist.
I'm curious, can you just give an example? Because manipulative is such a big word. Like, it's such a broad word. Like, what... Could you give an example? Was it more about, like, was it about money? Was he saying you can't go out? Or was he just decimating your self-esteem every year lower and lower that you couldn't?
It was like the gaslighting thing. It would be like, oh, you know, it's really done very sweetly. But
right,
he's like, you know, you probably don't realize that you're doing this, but, you know, you're being very flirtatious with this man, and I'm not comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you really shouldn't, you know, he was, and it had to do with our faith, you know, at the time. He was, you know, very religious, and he was like, you know, spending time, you know, alone with someone. I'm like, I can't help it. He's my office mate.
Right.
We're in the office.
Oh, I
together.
See. That's
There's
really.
Time.
Yes, exactly.
Like
I
I'm
just
like,
want people to hear this, too. Yeah, Catherine, thank you. I'm glad you got to a healthy place and you didn't get hurt by it, and, you know, only emotionally, but you repaired it. Thanks. Yeah. Thank you, Catherine. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. I mean, I think that's the thing, you guys. We're just talking about, has this ever happened to you? Have you ever fell for someone, but you had to justify their behavior because all your friends saw it, all your family saw it, but you didn't see it until it was too late. We're going to take a quick break and we come back on to your questions. So about 12 years ago, I interviewed the sweetest married couple. They just invented the Wii Vibe, the world's first sex toy designed to be worn during intercourse and to bring couples closer together, of course. Well, a lot's changed for Wii Vibe, but the basic design of their first couple's toy remains the same. The latest version is called Chorus, and it's pretty incredible. Like the first Wii Vibe, Chorus is C-shaped with one wig for internal stimulation and one for external. Because if you've been listening or, you know, been there yourself, orgasms don't always come as easily to vulva owners during penetration. And plus, penises like vibrations too. It's a win-win. So you've got your external pleasure, you've got your internal pleasure, and there's still room for penetration. So there's always two happy customers. But Chorus's new features take the whole concept to the next level. First, there's the squeeze-sensitive remote. The harder you squeeze it, the stronger the vibration. Next, there's touch-sensitive mode that detects the natural rise and fall of your body's motion and adjusts the intensity automatically, which is so cool. And then there's WeConnect, the easy-to-use mobile app that does just so much. They really pulled out all the stops on this one. Chorus is waterproof, adjusts to fit any body shape, and is crazy powerful. Just add a little aqua lube from Pure to both sides and enjoy the ride. Because it works in any position and offers endless vibration patterns, Chorus is the easiest way to spice up your routine and reignite that spark with your partner. To learn more about Chorus by WeVibe and the WeConnect app, go to sexwithemily.com/WeVibe today. That's sexwithemily.com/WeVibe. Do you ever meet someone who hasn't tried your favorite food or watched your favorite TV show, and then you get them to try it and their mind is blown? That happens to me all the time, but with lube. Specifically, lube during oral sex. It's one of my favorite tips, and I'm always amazed when I find someone who hasn't tried it. Either they don't think it's needed, or they're afraid of lube tasting bad. Well, thank goodness they're wrong. I mean, not only does lube make receiving oral sex feel incredible, but now it also tastes amazing. There's a brand new line of flavored lubes from our good friends at Joe. It's called Muse, and it's going to be that mind-blowing thing that will change your sex life forever. And if you haven't heard, my other favorite tip for giving oral is to be enthusiastic. Well, guess what? When your partner tastes like salted caramel, believe me, that enthusiasm gets real. Muse comes in three great flavors: mint chocolate, creme brulee, and yes, salted caramel. Each one is 100% edible, 100% sugar and paraben-free, and 100% game-changer. Oh, and they come in bottles with pump tops. It's like my dream come true. You gotta try Muse. We're all obsessed with it over here. To get some for yourself, go to sexwithemily.com/muse. That's my site, sexwithemily.com/muse. Ethan in Maryland has a question. 27 years old. Hi, Ethan. What's going on? Thanks for calling.
Hi, how's it going?
So good. Boy, tell me everything.
So I saw an advertisement for a toy from, is it Red Octopus?
Oh, Hot Octopus.
Yes, and it was this kind of, it's not a sleeve, but you slide it over your shaft.
Oh, yeah, we know it well. It's amazing. Yeah.
So I figured I could just take my girlfriend's magic wand and kind of do the same thing.
Oh. Oh. Did you try it?
Yes, I've been doing it multiple times, and I enjoy the hell out of it.
Wow, so you just have the magic wand, and you kind of rub it on your frenulum or on your ball? Like,
yeah, just like under the head of the shaft.
That makes so much sense. This is why I say vibrations are not just for vulvas and vaginas. They feel great on penises. And a low setting under your frenulum, that's great. Yeah, I've done that with a guy before. That's fun. Why not? Oh, my God,
oh,
Ethan.
It's so new and so fun.
Right? It's like a different kind of sensation. Did your girlfriend do it with you, or did you just steal it?
I was just feeling it out myself.
Okay, awesome, Ethan. But great. But that is a great tip.
I was wondering if there's anything I need to worry about, like tolerance or sensitivity issues.
Well, I would say to you that I know it's a different kind of sensation. Like, there's nothing to worry about, but, like, are you doing it every time you masturbate now? Is it becoming a habit? Are you doing it on the super high setting and just, you know what I mean? But no, you don't have anything to worry about. Women worry this too. I'm like, no, about their vaginas like falling off or becoming numb. Like, none of that happens. So it's just your neural pathways in your brain getting used to something.
Awesome. Now I keep it on the low setting, and I've only done it a couple times.
Okay, good. You can even put something around it, like a sock or something. This might sound silly, but there's so many nerve endings that sometimes putting a piece of fabric in between the magic wand and whatever it's touching can feel great too. Like for women, they put it over their underwear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You guys could play with it together. You could lay on top. You could, well, it couldn't be getting your friend. I'm trying to think of what position they could do where it's hitting her clitoris and his penis.
Like in between them, maybe from the side?
In between them. Yeah. There's a lot of power in there. Yeah.
Ooh.
I want to go do that.
That sounds great.
Oh my God, Ethan. I love you. Thank you.
Getting me excited.
I know, me too. Okay, thanks for calling, Ethan. Okay, let's talk to Ashley, 32, in Canada. Hey, Ashley, thanks for calling.
Hello.
Hi, Ashley. How can I help you?
I love you as a resource. I follow you so closely on Instagram.
Oh, I'm so glad, Ashley. I'm glad to talk to you, too.
So I've got a bit of a conundrum. Me and my guy, we're new. We're, you know, just under 3 months. My love language, high physical touch. I like a lot of intimacy, but I'm emotionally a little bit guarded. For example, don't love sharing history of my family. My sister is recently divorced and there's a couple of kids. Don't love going into that detail.
Okay.
He is very opposite in that physical touch is not all that important to him. But for him, the emotional getting to know someone precedes the physical.
Oh, okay.
Now, so we're looking for opposite things from one another, and I feel like we're in a bit of this catch-22 in that I need the physical, and he's saying, I can't give you the physical with feeling like I don't know you.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah.
Quite hurtful in that, like, he'll turn away, he'll ask me to stop petting him, no kissing.
Yeah, that's tough, Ashley. So is that what he really wants? He wants to hear about your family and your background, or does he want to know that you are emotionally in? Because it sounds like maybe you are not really showing him your heart and you're guarded in ways. So it's not even about the facts, but it sounds like there's a part of you that is, you know, afraid to be vulnerable with him, perhaps. And he's saying, I can't bring the sexual, the touch and stuff if I don't feel connected to you emotionally, intimately.
Yeah, we've hit on that too. Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, he just might need, like, to hear, how long have you guys been together?
Not very long, fewer than 3 months.
Oh, okay. So, like, it sounds like when you start to say love languages, maybe his love language is words. So maybe he doesn't need you to go so deep as far as, like, your history, but maybe he wants to know how you feel about him. So maybe the words saying, I really love our time, I love the sex we're having, I'm so attracted to you, he might, like, it. So because as a love, like, that's my love languages. So I would need to hear words before that. So maybe that's what it is. Do you feel comfortable affirming him in that way?
Yeah, and he's not the most secure or confident, I should say, and so he speaks a lot of that affirmation.
That's why he needs it. That's probably why I need it. No, I mean, you know, it also comes from I'm sure. Tell me you love me. Tell me I'm hot. So, yeah, Ashley, that sounds like what he needs to feel safe and comfortable with you. And the touch thing will come, but that's a tough one too, because when touch isn't our love languages and it's our partner's love language, we have to, like, make an effort to remember to touch, but you know, if he's willing to do that. And sometimes I feel if you fill up his cup, he'll fill up yours, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's really just a matter of continuing to talk about it and figure out ways that you can compromise and both get your needs met if this is going to go the distance.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. 'Cause you were saying initially that you didn't know, like, he wants you to talk about all these other things, like emotional things in your family. But to me, he just might need words of appreciation and affirmation, which isn't as hard, I think, right?
No, it's not. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes, Ashley. I'm glad you called. I'm here every night. You can try it out. It doesn't work. Call me back. Okay. Let's talk to Robert, 57, in New York. Hey, Robert. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's going on, Robert?
Turning a long story short, a couple of years ago, I got divorced, bumped into a young lady, and we kind of hit it off. And we've been seeing each other, like, daily ever since. And been going through a lot of emotional stuff and that just throughout the whole 2 years and that. And I just kind of told her I wanted to back off a little bit because she was, you know, she wanted more
commitment.
I told her I loved her as a friend and that there. And we started out as friends and she wants more. And it's just not there, you know. And I'm trying to tell her and not, you know, not to lead her on or anything.
Okay.
But anyways, go ahead.
No, no. So, okay, so you're trying to, I'm just listening. So why don't you want to be in there? Oh. Have you tried to tell her and she's not taking the message?
Yeah, she says that, you know, the best thing has come across and us and now and all this other stuff. And she's been through two abusive marriages and that there and this and that. And so, you know, I'm pretty kind-hearted, not to toot my own horn or nothing, but it just, it sounds kind of stupid, don't it?
No, anyway. No, you sound lovely, Robert. You just sound like you're thinking about this woman that you're dating and you don't want to hurt her feelings. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Yeah. Okay. It's just so tough. It just, I don't know how to, you know, we only went through a couple of days of not seeing each other and she's already, you know, thinking that I'm going to run away and all that, which, you know, I guess maybe because it's just, I haven't really had any freedom.
Okay.
And my kids have told me they're all grown up. And anyways, they told me that I needed some time to heal, blah, 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 and all that. But, you know, so.
Okay.
I don't know.
Wait, Robert, let me get clear. No, this. Let me just ask you a question, Robert, real quick. So are you saying that you got out of a relationship and this woman, you've been on a few dates with her and you're already sensing that she's kind of like, where have you been? Are you going to be texting me? Is this going to be something? And you're not looking for anything right now, especially with her, because it seems like she needs a lot more right now. So you just want to be able to have a conversation with her in a loving way and just say, I really can't be, you know, connected with you right now. I'm not in this place. And then just kind of let her go. Is that what you're asking?
Well, actually, I was married for 35 years and my wife divorced me. And so 2 years ago, this is 2.5 years ago. So 2 years ago, I bumped into this young lady. We've been seeing each other pretty much. I mean, within a month, we're like every day, you know, I mean, she
for 2.5 years,
every day,
you've been seeing her for 2.5 years, 2 years.
For
okay.
Two years.
So you've been seeing her for 2 years. I got it. But you, so it's been, and now you're trying to kind of end it completely.
Well, no, I just wanted some time cause I've been able to breathe. You know, she's really kind of in me, you know, been itching. Inching into the house and that there kind of, you know, it's like, well, why don't I just move my suitcase in the house and things like that there. Yeah. Now she's got her, you know, her pets up to my place. And
it's too much. Yeah. So Robert, what do you want from this? Yeah, I get it. But Robert, so this is what I have to understand. So you said she's been creeping in and it's, I don't think that after 2 years, first of all, you're with your wife for 35 years. She died 3 years ago and you've been in a relationship ever since, which is super common. We get into things. It's hard to really mourn and grieve when we get into something. And it sounds like you're looking up now and going, wait a minute, this isn't what I'm looking for. But I feel like with her history and what's happening, that it's going to have to be a clean break. I don't think that you can go from her practically living with you and saying like, let's make it more casual because that's not what she wants. So are you willing to say goodbye to the relationship or at least take a break and say, you know what, for 3 months or 6 months, we can't talk, no contact, I just need space. That's another option. When you do a break like that, you have to, you got a divorce. Your wife didn't pass away. I don't know why I said that. You got a divorce. But I feel like that's still a mourning and a grieving process, right? To go from a 35-year relationship into another one is just like a lot. So I think that you're saying you just need more time right now.
Correct.
Yeah. Yes. So Robert, are you okay? Then could you do that with her?
Well, we've talked about it on and off throughout the relationship because, you know, she knew that it was just, you know, I cared for her and that there and as a friend and whatnot. She goes, well, just tell me you love me as a friend. And so I said, okay, I guess I can do with that. But then now she thinks because I say I love you that it's more than just as a friend and.
Well,
and all that.
Have you been having sex with her these last 2 years?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, Robert, you know what I mean. She really wants a relationship and she wants to be with you. She thinks you're her guy.
Right.
And so what do you want, Robert? Would you be okay to not talk to her for 6 months? Would you be okay to end it completely?
I think so. But she said in the past that, you know, if I end it, that she won't come back.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you need to end it, though. I mean, Robert, I don't know. It's not like a one-time, you know, conversation, but I think... You know, you're sounding like you just, she's not going to listen to you and that's what she wants. But maybe you guys want different things right now. I think asking for a break, but then you can't keep going back and forth. You're going to have to not talk to her for a few months and see how you feel. But she right. also, if she can't handle that, she can't, you know, she's not your person. But I think kind of sticking up for what you want and then explaining to her why you need the space, why you're not ready for right. that is totally okay. But just kind of having more words around it, having other conversations and not allowing her to push you into something you don't want. It's really just a matter of that. Of course, she says you. And honestly, if you've been sleeping together for 2 years and you say, I love you, she thinks, you know, you love her. But I get that there was a little negotiation and all that, but that's just semantics. So really, I just think you got to get clear on what you really want, because maybe someone else will come in, you know, the picture. But right now, it sounds like you just need time alone. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. Okay.
Okay.
All right, Robert. Thanks for calling. Let me know how it goes. I'll be here for you every night. All right. Business with Emily. You can still find me on SiriusXM Radio. It is Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, Stars 109. You can get a free trial. They're actually upping their free trials now for, I think, 3 months at sexwithemily.com/SXM. And remember, you guys, I'm here for you during this pandemic and always. So send me your questions. Leave me a review, you guys, wherever you listen to the show. It's really helpful wherever you listen. iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Spotify. Give us 5 stars. It's awesome when you rate and review us. And sending you all love. Thanks to my awesome team, Ken, Kristen, Elisa, Brian, our interns, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. You know those websites and apps you can use to fact check news stories or find out if like a used car was in an accident? Well, when it comes to sex toys, there are 2 resources you can trust to find products that are both safe and good. Sex with Emily and Good Vibrations. Good Vibrations is where I first learned about good sex toys, and they're still my go-to resource to check up on new products. They only sell the best toys, lubes, and more from the best brands, and like me, they test everything for you in advance. In fact, you probably heard my good friend Coyote on the show. She's in charge of deciding what they sell and what they don't. I call her the Surgeon General of sex toys. If she approves, you know it's good. Good Vibrations has beautiful shops all over the country, an amazing website, and they even power my online store, Shop with Emily. If you haven't checked out a Good Vibrations shop in person, you should. If there's not one nearby, go to sexwithemily.com/goodvibrations to see what I'm talking about. They carry all my favorite brands that I know will become your favorites too. So before you buy something as personal as a sex toy, check in with Good Vibrations. Just go to sexwithemily.com/goodvibrations. That's my site, sexwithemily.com/goodvibrations.